Fiat. November 29th, 1937. Our pains, united with the pains of Jesus, form His life within us, and there is no good which does not come from them. How lack of love martyrs the divine love. My poor mind swims in the sea of the divine volition. Even more, I feel that it breathes, it palpitates in me, and more than blood, circulates inside the veins of my soul, saying to me, I am here, inside and outside of you. More than your own life, I run within each one of your acts. And with my love, I make everything easy for you, and I make you happy too. In the meantime, He was showing me all the pains that I had suffered, invested with light, holding them tightly close to His bosom as conquests of His will. I remained concerned. And my always lovable Jesus, visiting me, told me, My little daughter of my divine will, you must know that all the pains which my most holy humanity suffered on earth, each tear I shed, every drop of my blood, each step and motion, and even my breath, were and are invested by one single voice, with which they speak and cry out continuously. We want the kingdom of the divine will, reigning and dominating in the midst of creatures. We want our divine rights to be placed in force. And they pray, speak, and moan around our supreme throne, without ever ceasing, that the will of heaven and of the earth may be one. Now, whoever unites with my pains, with my heartbeats, breaths, steps, and works, prays, speaks, and moans, together with all that I did and suffered upon earth, there is no good which does not arise from my pains. And united with those of the creature, mine form the depository, the hosts, in order to receive her pains, forming one single prayer together, one single voice, one single will. Even more, my pains carry the pains of the creature and everything she does before our majesty, in order to make her want and do what I did, while the pains of the creature capture my pains onto the earth to envelop all creatures in my pains and in hers, and dispose them to receive the life of my divine will. The union with me, of her pains with my pains, produces the great prodigy of my life in the creature, who comes to operate, speak, and suffer as if I were again living on earth. And I animate the whole of her being with the power of my acts. Even in her little trifles does my will flow, so that all may be mine, animated by my creative power, and she may give me the love and the glory of my very life. Do you think that my will has not taken into account all that you have suffered? Not at all. My will preserves within its womb of light all of your pains, small and great, your distressed and sorrowful sighs, your privations. Even more, it has used them as material to be able to conceive, deliver, and raise its life. Each pain of yours was a growth it had, nourishing them with its sanctity, filling them with the ardor of its love, embellishing them with its unreachable beauty. My daughter, how much you must thank me for all that I have disposed for you and for all that I made you suffer, because everything has served to form my life in you and for the triumph of my will. What fortune for the creature to see that her pains have served my life so wholly, which will have as fulfillment my divine will palpitating in her. Do you think it is trivial that the Creator shows his need for the creature, he who is omnipotent and gives life to all? Is this not the greatest excess of our love? Jesus remained silent, and I remained there, thinking of what he had just told me. And I saw all my pains lined up within me, spreading rays of light, being transformed into the pains of Jesus, forming the divine support and the defense for creatures, and forming constant voices and moans that were asking for the divine will to come to reign. Then he continued, "My good daughter, our love is so great that everywhere and in every place, even upon the littlest blade of grass, in the air that the creature breathes, in the water she drinks, even underneath her steps as she treads the ground, we send our voices, our passionate cry of love, 'I love you, I love you, I love you.' But our love gives itself no peace if it does not feel listened to by the creature and does not hear her repeat, 'I love you, I love you.' And in our delirium of love and sorrow, we say, 'Oh, is nobody listening to us? Oh, no one repeats for us, I love you, I love you.' Why then say, 'I love you, I love you,' if no one returns it to us? To whom are we saying, 'I love you'? To the air? To the wind? To the empty space? Our 'I love you' finds no one to whom to go, no place on which to lean, if it does not find the 'I love you' of the creature who receives it in order to requite it with her own, so that her love may find refuge inside our immense love, to lean on it and be expanded more and more. When the creature listens to our 'I love you' and requites it, in our emphasis of love and as though appeased by her love, we say, 'Indeed, we have been heard. Our love has found someone to whom to go, a place in which to take refuge. We have been recognized because we have found one who says, "I love you."' Then our love makes feast. But when we do not find anyone who says to us, 'I love you,' we do not find one who recognizes us, nor anyone who listens to us or loves us. How hard it is to love and not to be loved. How I wish they all knew that with my love I sustain them, I embrace them, I love them, and I make them breathe. I love them, and I give them a heartbeat. I love them, and I give them speech. I love them, and I give them the step. I love them, and I give them motion, thinking, food, water. All that they are and receive is the effect of my love that runs. Hence, is not loving me a horrendous ingratitude? It is to martyr our love because we love and we are not loved. After this, I was thinking to myself, but how can the creature know when our Lord tells her his repeated and continuous "I love yous," so as to requite them with her own? And my sweet Jesus added, "My daughter, and yet it is easy to know it, if the creature possesses my divine will as her own life, because my will gives her its divine hearing, which makes her listen when her Creator tells her, 'I love you.' And not only the hearing, but also its divine speech, so that the hearing listens, and the speech says, 'I love you.' Or rather, even before he says to her, 'I love you,' she already perceives that she's about to receive the I love you over God. And she makes her I love you meet the divine I love you, almost so as to engage in a contest with her creator. My will wants to give everything to the creature who lives in it. It gives her its arms with which to embrace it, and its steps in order to run after it. Just as we feel our divine nature to be all love and the need to love, so much so that if it were possible to prevent us from loving, we would suffocate the breath of our divine life as though being choked, because in us our breath, our motion, and our very will is love, and it is impossible for us not to love. In the same way, one who possesses our will feels the need to love us, and to love us always. Therefore, my will alone can put order between the Creator and the creature, keeping her constantly aware of our love, of our sanctity, and placing her in communication with our Supreme Being.